Cameras decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crimeverse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory!
That is correct. And we've got another unsolved case for you today. A real puzzling one, but also, I don't know. I just feel like there's not that much information, and that makes me want to ask lots of questions.
As normal.
I mean, what's new on the show? But today we are going to dive into a case that has actually haunted investigators and kept armchair sleuths, as well as one New Mexican family in a decades-long nightmare.
Yeah.
This is the disappearance of Tara Calico and the Polaroid that may have shown her fate. Now, do you know what a Polaroid is? I'm just checking.
I think I know, but I don't think I know.
Did you know those old-fashioned cameras where you take the picture and it gets printed straight away?
Yeah. Oh, that's what a Polaroid is. So it like comes out the top of the camera. I think my mom used to own one once upon a time.
I've got one.
You do?
I do.
I've seen yours. It's like pink or green.
It's blue. It's like a bluey green.
Bluey green, yeah.
But mine's a much more modern one. It's not like the ones from way back.
I think my mom owned one once upon a time.
Well, that was the type of cameras that people had in the past.
I wonder what happened to those.
iPhones.
Yeah, we have iPhones and obviously other Android devices.
Yeah. So, September 20th, 1988. Belen, New Mexico. A small town, quiet streets, big desert skies. 19-year-old Tara Calico was a college student, bright, athletic, and ambitious.
Yeah.
She lived with her mother, Patty Dole, and stepfather, and they had a routine she rarely broke. A morning bike ride along New Mexico State Road 47. However, that morning, Tara told her mom to come pick her up if she wasn't home by noon. She had a full day planned, classes, errands, and then a tennis date with her boyfriend. She set off on her pink huffy bike, a cassette player strapped to the frame, headphones in her ears, and she never came back.
Another one of those.
Another one of those. Okay. You know, I don't understand why people listen to headphones while they are walking. You need to be focused.
Like, I've done that before, but like, if you like want to be really aware of your surroundings, I don't know. Personally, I feel like it's a bit tricky because all you can hear is music. So
your brain is focused on that. You kind of put yourself in a bubble, which is pretty dangerous.
It's dangerous. You can get bumped.
Bumped, yeah. People could sneak up behind you.
Yeah.
All these type of things. So I don't know. And especially when you're riding a bicycle. I mean, she's supposed to be watching traffic.
Exactly.
Things like that. Okay. When noon came and went, Patty drove the route scanning for her daughter. Nothing. By evening, police were involved. The only signs left behind were pieces of Tara's cassette player and a Boston cassette tape found on the roadside. It looked like it had been dropped in a struggle. Several witnesses reported seeing a light-colored pickup truck, possibly a 1953 Ford, following closely behind Tara. Some thought they saw two men inside, but no license plate, no concrete leads. And in 1988, small town departments didn't have the same resources or forensics that we see today in our police departments. So it was very difficult. I mean, there's not, like, for example, today, there is a lot more surveillance, cameras, people, security guards that are more aware of what's going on. But if you're just like in those days, you were riding a bike on the street, nobody's gonna see what happened to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Patty believed from the beginning that her daughter had been abducted. She even warned Tara before that day that if she kept riding alone, someone might try to grab her. Tara would just laugh it off. Now the family was living that fear. Fast forward 10 months, June 1989, Port St. Joe, Florida, over 16,000 miles away. Okay, so it's very far away from where we began our story. A woman spots a Polaroid photo in a grocery store parking lot. She turns it over to the police. The image is shocking. A teenage girl and a younger boy lying on what appears to be a bed in the back of a white van. Both are bound and gagged with duct tape.
Damn.
Their eyes are wide with fear.
Yeah.
And I've seen the picture. Shame they... it's...
Should have brought the picture with you.
I might still have it on my phone. I do still have it on my phone.
Yeah, it's fine. We can look at that later.
There.
Oh.
Have a look. If you search on Google, the Tara Calico case, the Polaroid immediately comes up. So you can have a look for yourselves.
That's a color Polaroid.
It was the 80s.
Yeah.
We had moved past black and white, but just so you know.
Yeah.
The girl looks very similar to Tara. The boy resembled Michael Henley, a 9-year-old boy who had vanished in New Mexico earlier that year. In the photo, a paperback copy of My Sweet Audrina by V.C. Andrews lies next to the girl, which was a book Tara had been known to read.
Yeah.
The photo was sent to Scotland Yard and the FBI. Scotland Yard said it's likely Tara, but the FBI was a little less certain.
Yeah.
So have a look for me at Tara's face. Do you think that's the same person? Again, you can search this online.
That's actually...
I think it's the same person.
It does look like the same person. The difference is quite interesting, though, but you can... It's not... You can sort of
see...
Well,
obviously, in the one picture of her, she's put together. She's got makeup on. Her hair's done. And in the other photo, she's bound and gagged. I mean...
Yeah.
She's not going to look exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
But her face...
it does look like
what
the same
makes
person.
It very difficult is because the duct tape's over her mouth, you kind of... don't have, you only have half of her face to go on. You don't like have the full picture.
Yeah.
Because half her face is literally covered with duct tape. So I think that also makes it a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
But it does bear its similarities.
Yeah.
For Patty, this was her daughter. She said she recognized the scar on her leg. Okay, well, if the mom could recognize something like that, then that's a bit more solid evidence. Okay, and she recognized the way her hair fell. The possibility that Tara was alive but being held captive gave her both hope and horror. Sadly, the boy in the Polaroid was later confirmed not to be Michael Henley, as his remains were found in the Zuni Mountains, likely from getting lost while camping. That still left the girl unidentified. Over the years, two more Polaroids surfaced, both showing a young woman bound and gagged, but their authenticity and connection to Tara remains disputed.
Yeah.
Now, you see, here's my first question. Why are these Polaroids just randomly being discovered? Like, for example, if the first one was discovered, you could say the captive took the photo and accidentally, maybe while driving away or walking, dropped the photo.
Yeah.
But you're not going to do that more than once because you're going to get caught.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's already for me a little bit like what's going on here. Investigators pursued tips, including rumors that Tara had been taken by local men she knew, possibly after an accident involving a truck that was tailing her. Some accounts suggested she was taken to a remote location and killed, and with her body hidden in the desert. But without evidence, the case stayed cold.
Yeah.
In 2008, on the 20th anniversary of Tara's disappearance, the Valencia County Sheriff's Office stated publicly that they knew what had happened and who was responsible, but without a body or physical evidence, no charges could be filed. And that's it. They don't elaborate. They don't say who. They don't say what. But I suppose that's fair enough, because if they said who, that person can destroy evidence and
again,
things like that.
Again, in another story that we do, the police just managed to successfully do what they always do.
Yeah. Well, you see, this is what makes, you know, it is very hard. And I think it's both bad and good. Let me explain myself. It's very hard to get somebody to be convicted.
Yeah, to nail
there
it.
Has to be means, motives, and opportunity, meaning that they had the ability to do it. So, for example, they had the gun, the motive, why they did it, and the opportunity. They don't have an alibi.
Okay, yeah.
It's very difficult. That's the good reason for that is that it prevents, and it's not always accurate, but it does lessen the likelihood of people being sentenced for crime they don't commit, they haven't committed, because you have to have the evidence.
I as much as I'd like to agree with it, I personally disagree with all of these stupid laws that are in and between, and I get they're there to protect innocent people, but...
Because I think in the past, a lot of people were just arrested and I say this is the positive, but it's a very slight positive. The negative is this is why so many criminals are still on the street, is because the police don't have what they need to put them away.
Yeah.
This case is a brilliant example of that. They say they know who did it, they know how they did it, but they have no evidence. Then that person has been walking around for the past nearly, 40 years? Free.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bit ridiculous. And I think that's also why there's so many mobsters and gangsters and all that kind of stuff that stay free, because there's just no way to tie it to them. So I said, yes, there's that slight positive that this does prevent wrong people from going to jail. But the big negative is we have cases like this, which stay unsolved. Okay. Rumors swirled about a group of young men, their connections, and a cover-up to protect powerful local families. In 2013, a retired sheriff's deputy claimed he'd been told Tara was hit by a truck, badly injured, and then killed to silence her. This version of events has never been proven in court. Tara's case is one of those that blends crime and mystery in equal measure. We have witnesses, we have a haunting photograph, we have confessions told in whispers, but we don't have the one thing that matters most: Tara herself. Patty Doll never stopped searching for a daughter, but she passed away in 2006 without any answers. That's got to be one of the heaviest burdens to carry.
Yeah.
Not knowing where your child is. Oh, no.
And you can imagine her having died looking for her child.
Yes, and you still know nothing.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't think she's alive.
Yeah.
No. I don't think she's alive. Unless she got sold into, slavery.
Yeah,
like
slavery.
Some country.
Trafficking.
Yeah.
Somewhere deep in Asia with her.
But even then,
about.
She would probably have been put on drugs, abused. She probably wouldn't have survived for 40 years anyway.
Anyway.
I mean, she's not going to be 50-something and still alive.
Exactly.
So, today Tara's case remains open, and every few years it resurfaces in documentaries, podcasts, and internet sleuth forums. That Polaroid still haunts anyone who's seen it. Was it really Tara? Was she alive months after the abduction? Or was it just cruel coincidence? So what happened to Tara on that September morning is a question that will linger and has lingered for over 35 years. Okay,
yeah.
Somewhere out there, somebody knows exactly what happened. And until they speak up, we'll never know. And you see, now the problem is we're reaching 40, 50 years. If the person who took her was, let's say, already 30, 40 years old, they're now bordering 80, 90. That person's life expectancy is growing shorter by the minute. So if they don't say, they could even be dead. I mean, it's 40 years. No, it's true. That's been 40 years. I mean, people died. People die in their 20s. People die in their 30s. That person who took her could be long dead. Or that if they're still alive, they'll be 80, 90 years old. So like I said, they've got one foot out the door.
Yeah.
But And that's the sad thing, is because with this likelihood, that the chances of ever actually finding out what happened to her are like zero.
Yeah.
Which is sad. I mean, and like you said, it's so terrible. Her mother died not even knowing what happened to her.
Crazy.
I mean, imagine going to your deathbed and every day for the past 20 odd years, where's my daughter?
Yeah.
And you don't know. You don't know what's happened to her. You don't know what she's been through. Even if she came back, do you know how a different person she would be? She'd not be the same human being.
Yeah.
With all the abuse and torment that she... Oh, my goodness. No. It's okay, guys. So, anyway, that's the case. I think what makes this case probably so popular with, like, especially amateur investigators is the Polaroid, because it's kind of like a lead that should go somewhere, but at the moment goes nowhere. And I think that's where the intrigue comes in. Is that girl in the photo really Tara?
Yeah.
I think so. I think the similarities are quite, well, prominent. But we'll leave that up for you to decide for yourselves. Do you have anything you would like to add before we end the show?
Just disappointed again. Another unsolved mystery.
Welcome to crime. I feel like there's so many out there, and they'll continue to be so many out there. So, yeah. Especially the one, and it really sucks, the ones that happened many years ago, and it's like 50 years later, and there's still no answers. Like, nobody's been able to piece together what happened. I mean, like, for example, the Zodiac Killer. We are living in a world of AI and machine learning, and we still can't crack that guy's codes. Well, they've cracked two, I think. But how have we not cracked the other one? Like, what? Like, come on, guys. They were cracking codes in World War II already. Why is this such a... I'd love to know who that was. That's one of my favorite unsolved cases. Because that guy must have been a lunatic. But again, you see, I'd love to know who it is, because I want to know why he stopped. Why did he stop? He just stopped randomly. Why? Did he die? Did he go to jail? Did he have an encounter with Jesus and he changed his life? You sure. don't know. No, I'm just giving like answers. Like, why did he stop? Serial killers don't have an on-off switch. They're driven by impulse and like addiction. So why did he stop? Same thing, Jack the Ripper. Why did Jack the Ripper stop off after five?
Maybe in one of his attempted murders, he got killed by a victim.
Fair enough. You see, this is the stuff I want to know. And it's so... I mean, what? Jack the Zodiac was the 50s, 60s. Jack the Ripper was back there in 1700. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But it's way back when they still wore top hats and corsets. But anyway, that has been the case of Tara and the Polaroid mystery. We hope you enjoyed. Would you like to add anything? We hope you enjoyed. Otherwise, we will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.